In 2 Corinthians, chapter 8, verse 9, and then Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Tonight we're going to talk about money coveted versus money coveted. Another way you can say it is money coveted versus going after money. It's a different. Money coveted versus money coveted after, going after money. But the Lord has made it possible that money come after you. We're going to look the difference between the world system of prosperity and God's laws of prosperity, so we can have balance and check in the pursuit of fulfilling what God has told us to do in this prosperity revival, that we in the body of Christ can have balance. But yet I can't, when I was meditating this afternoon, I can't in no way think of being spiritual rich without being blessed physically. I can't see how you come up with that. I don't know how people add that up. How God wants you rich spiritually and poor otherwise. I can't figure it out. And it's not really, you can't figure it out because it's not truth. It's a lie that the devil has sold to the church. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, we read, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich," he was, "yet for your sake he became poor." Now notice this, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Amen? So look right over in Galatians, and it'll go ahead on and verify this in the way he became poor for you. Chapter 3, verse 13. Now keep that scripture in mind we read, because I'm going to share with you how he became poor and how this ties into having prosperity, godly prosperity. I'm going to give you some guidelines for godly prosperity that you'll never have to worry about money in the aspect of, am I too worldly? Is this too much money? Or should I even think about money? Et cetera. That the devil cannot hookwink you to think, because you have money, that you're out of the will of God. We want to deal with that. Now notice in this 13th verse, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Now you know what we just read. Amen. Hallelujah. Go to open back up 2 Corinthians, but you got to get it. The two will have to become interwoven for you to get the revelation. Are you listening to me? The two will have to become interwoven for you to get the revelation. Now notice in verse 9 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich." Now one of the problems is people thought Jesus was poor when he was here. The thing that I'm going to try to identify now is that he became poor when he died on the cross. That's when he became poor. That's when he became a curse. Because in Jesus' ministry, he ruled the law of nature. I mean, he can have guests of over 5,000 and just take whatever he had and feed them all. That don't sound like poor to me. And then it came down to tax time. This poor Jesus. And he told the boy, you go catch a fish. The first fish you catch, just go ahead and reach in the mouth and my tax money and your money, tax money will be in there. That don't sound like poor to me. So he was not. And then if a man, if he's so poor, why in the world would you need a treasurer? Poor people do not have treasurers. You to have a treasurer, you got to have treasures. And then at that, it must have been quite a bit in the treasure because he had a large staff traveling with him. And he had to feed them. And then the man was stealing out the bag. It took a while for him to catch him. So it must have had a good much in the bag. We've been told about poor little Jesus and that Jesus was so poor. No, Jesus, you see, was a traveling evangelist. So he wasn't worried about no home or house that he could have stayed in. He had one of his disciples rich, Joseph of Arimathea. He was rich. He could have stayed at his house. And then the Lord, when he got ready for a donkey to ride on, he told the boy, go get him. When they stop you and ask you who wanted it, just tell them that I want it. And the man said, go ahead on, take it. Even when the master got ready to have the Lord's Supper, he didn't need to worry about an auditorium or renting a convention center. He sent one man, told him he's going to lead you to another man, and tell that man, I said, prepare the upper room. I mean, the master lived in complete authority over prosperity. So it can't be talking about he became poor when he came here on earth, because the Bible said he had the spirit without measure. And he knows how to flow with his Father. And Jesus had no problem. Over and over again, we see him controlling nature by the laws of prosperity. Jesus operated the laws of prosperity while he was on earth to show mankind how to operate that law. So therefore, he was not poor. This scripture cannot be talking about Jesus being poor little Jesus when he was here in his ministry. That's what I want to get you to see. For you know, now I'm reading the ninth verse again. Now, this should help you, because we've got to identify when he became poor. That you should not be poor. All right, you need to identify that. If you can identify, if you stop believing him as little poor Jesus when he was here on earth and see the real reality when he became poor, because there was a great exchange that took place when he became poor. That was a place swapping. Are you with me? See, I got to get you beyond, this religious idea that Jesus, you know, when they talk about the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests and the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head, it didn't mean that he didn't have the means whereby to get it. But it's meaning that if you want to be a disciple with him, he was traveling. And you're not going to be able to lay your bed down the way you're going to keep rolling. None of y'all never traveled with an evangelist. But there's a lot of getting up, getting out, getting in. I know I've had my share this year. You know, man, you ain't in one hotel room, and by the time you lay down to sleep good, you got to go to another hotel. You ain't in one state. By the time you get to know what street to turn on, you ain't in another state trying to find another street. Well, that's the way Jesus was. Jesus was a rolling stone. When he was here. So therefore he couldn't collect much moss. He stayed on the move. And good evangelist can tell you. You know, ain't much sense having a good house. If you're an evangelist, you just pass through it and say hello to the family. Hug the wife and kiss her and tell them goodbye, because you got to catch, if you're a good evangelist. Now, if you're not a good evangelist, you can just get you a good house because you're not going nowhere. Nobody calling you to preach. I thought I didn't want to pass that up. You know, that was a good opportunity to tell you if I was a good one or not. But I want to identify, once you see this, and once I give you some principles that I believe the Lord has given me when I first got on, let me say this in reverse. When I made it possible, listen to me closely, because I was almost saying when I first got on the prosperity trail, But I'm going to reverse that. I'm going to tell you something that's going to be a blessing to you. When the prosperity got on my trail, I made it possible. I left a trail of faith operating the laws of prosperity. And what they say in Deuteronomy, it overtake you. It begin to overtake you. You don't have to go after it. See, when you go after it, people get to thinking money, loving money, after money. You know, money, 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 money. That's not what money coming mean. Money coming mean when you begin to fulfill the Father's will and see it that is the Father's will that you be blessed and begin to operate in faith, begin to give in faith, begin to sow in faith, begin to plant in faith, not even too much a concern about it, doing the Father's will and putting him first. Money cometh. See, so it is an opposite to what worldly prosperity is. Worldly prosperity is men thinking and going after and conniving and scheming in every way they can to get money. And what happened when a revelation break out about prosperity in the church, these demons zoom in on the church and begin to tell the church, now look, you're getting worldly, you're getting your mind on money. You see, y'all been having this prosperity revival and all y'all think about money. I'm thinking about the hungry and all that. You can't feed the hungry if you don't have no money. Amen. Mess around, all of y'all will be hungry if somebody don't get a hold of this prosperity message. Are you listening to me? I believe we're going home tonight. Glory to God, I feel my Cheerios up here. Notice this ninth verse. Now, you can look at it with a eye of understanding that you're not talking about a poor little Jesus who was here on earth, but it's somewhere else he became poor. Are you listening to me? Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Somewhere else he became poor, and you have to see this in order to receive that. You have to see this in order to receive that. Somewhere else he became poor. Now notice, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, you know, some said, yeah, when he was in heaven with the Father, you know, he was rich. No. See, if you have means to get money, you're rich. Are you listening to me? Oh, I want you to see this so bad. And it'll be so easy for you to slip in the gloves of prosperity. If you see this and stop being in debt, distress, and discontentment, and confused, because it's due to you, because the Lord have taken your poverty place. Listen to what I said. The Lord has taken your place of poverty. And he didn't like it. He didn't stay in no more than 3 days. Lord, oh my goodness, lost him. The Lord couldn't stand to be broke no longer. He came up on the third day. Yeah. 3 days, he said, that's enough of this. It's enough of this struggling and hustling and burning and feeling outside, you know. He said, I'm coming out of here. I know you wondered why he came up so fast. He just didn't like it. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich. Now, how many understand that he was rich? That it's not just talking about when he, right before he left his father. We knew he always existed, and he took up on the form of man and came down and existed here for 33 years, but he still was in control of nature and had authority over the laws of prosperity. I can't seem to get away from that tonight. Maybe somebody needs to dawn on you, and when it dawn on you, then you can get over that poverty syndrome and move out in the area of what the Lord wants you to have. Yet for your sake, for whose sake? He became poor. Well, what for? That you through his poverty, or through him becoming poor, might be, that word might again, we talked about it, you know, might be rich. Now might mean might and might not. I'm with the mights, me. You be with who you want to be with, but I'm going to stick with the mights. If you want to be the might nots, amen to your might not, but glory to God to my might. Now, in reading Galatians, now, you ought to see it better now. Now, here it is. It tells us about this same scripture again. in Galatians 3:13, talking about him becoming poor again. Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Being made a curse for us. See, that is right there. Being made poverty for us. That is right there. Being made a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, why did he do that? Why did he do that? Why did he become a curse? Why did he become poverty? Why did he become poor for us? Why would the Lord do that? For us to go to heaven only? No, no. You just read the next verse. All you gotta do is read the Bible. The next word says that. That mean whatever ahead of that mean that's why it was done. How many can see that? That he became poor. He became poverty. He became a curse. He stripped himself of his mighty glory and power and his ability to operate in the laws of prosperity for a moment, that he can swap place with us temporarily, take authority over it, come back, go to glory, and endorse us now to walk in that law, same law of prosperity that he walked when he walked those 3 years, showing us how to operate and function in the supernatural and by faith and by the laws of prosperity. That's the blessing. Everybody say that's the blessing. Not the curse. How many of y'all believe being broke is a curse? Listen. If anything can be a curse, it's being broke. You don't have to have no genius mind. You can't buy nothing. You're broke. You don't have a quarter. Your car, the gas, your refrigerator empty. Your baby crying. Your husband grouchy. The wife grouchy. Nothing going on right. That got to be a curse. I've been broke. I've been broke. I know it's a curse. If it's in a curse, I'll just call it a curse tonight, because I'm telling you, it's terrible. That the blessing of Abraham, hallelujah. Well, one of Abraham's blessing was, one aspect of Abraham's blessing, that he was very, not just rich. The Bible said he was very rich, Abraham was. Hallelujah. Very rich. Abraham was so rich, him and his family couldn't stay in the same place. Who he blessed, who Abraham blessed. That boy, Lot's son was with him, and Abraham, he got his blessing from Abraham. Abraham blessed that boy so much that they got in the same place, and their servants, their workmen went to Ogden. Who sheep were going to eat where they had so many sheep? Abraham said, look, you just go ahead and take the place you want to go, and I'll just go where you not go, you know, because we can't stay in the same place. We got too much. My goodness. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentile through Jesus Christ, that you might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, money cometh versus money coveted. Money coveted, coveting money, being covetous, that means you're going after the world way and you're taking any way you can get it. You scheme and lie on your taxes, anything you can do to get your hand on some money because you're broke. But money cometh is falling into the laws of prosperity, and then the laws that you hear in the Old Testament, money will run you down. Money will cometh to you, come to you, and look for you and find you. Now, I'm going to show you how to do that. Now, in order to understand God, everybody say God's law of prosperity. Listen real closely. This is the qualifying factors that I'm about to give you in very short, precise, clear, simple term to set yourself up to operate and function properly in God's prosperity law. Here's four words that will keep you balanced and keep you in place that identifies God's prosperity. And a very simple word: always keep God first. Did you hear that? So you can tell what side of the ledger you're operating on. If you're operating in godly prosperity, those four words will be a governor for you to demarcation, a mark for you to tell you whether you're operating in godly prosperity or not. Always, very simple, keep God first. Now every demon and every person who want to augur your prosperity when you operate in the law of prosperity, and if in your lifestyle, no matter what they say, in your lifestyle, in your heart, in your conversation, in your giving, in your praise, in your worship, you've got these four words before you all the time. Always keep God first. Say that with me. Always keep God first. Now that is a guideline to godly prosperity. No devil, no tradition, no ecclesiastical, no traditional person can come tell you, no worldly person can come tell you, you out of the will of God. They try to tell you because you're blessed, they try to tell you out of the will of God, because they know if you start getting your money, they got to go on the other end of the line, and you're going to step up to the front where you're supposed to be. God, listen. Yes. I want to say it again, because the Spirit of God emphasized it to me, and my wife and I have done this over the years. Always keep God first. Now, it's more easily said than done. This thing has to get in your spirit. I'll show you a scripture to go with it, a very familiar scripture, because I have another dynamic truth, simple truth. The Lord taught very simple where people can catch on to it. Now you know whether you're in line. You know whether you're in line for godly prosperity tonight or not already. I mean, I've been preaching about 25 minutes. You either in or you out with just that statement. Always keep God first. Now, just question yourself, are you doing that? Don't holler out, yeah, and just holler yes loosely. Even today, if you kept him first person you talked to was him. My goodness, you see. Commune with him. Having fellowship with him. Want to know what he wants you to do with your legs today, and your hand, and your mouth, and your pocketbook. Either tonight or tomorrow night, I'm really going to give you a definition of get rich quick scheme. Give you a good definition so you'll never do that again. You'll never be running behind these false dreams. Matthew 6:33. Yeah. Seek ye first. When? First the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and hallelujah. I like to say it like this because it presented in the scripture. I proved my argument on that yesterday. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things are yours. That's exactly what he's talking about, because it's proven out in the scripture. If I had time, I'd walk them through. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, the Bible said, let every word be established. I give them four or five witnesses on yesterday that God, all things are yours. You are Christ. Christ is God, and all things are yours. See. Now, anybody can quote the scripture, seek ye first the kingdom, or read it, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Quoting it and reading it is one thing. But do it. You know you really can't preach this unless you're doing it. Because you know one sister be sitting out there and you know he lied. He lied. See, it's damaging to your character to try to preach something you're not living. Amen. Seek ye first. See, that keep your balance. Seek ye first. Let me tell you a good way how to seek first the kingdom of God. Now, I got this training in going to Baptist funeral. Because at Baptist funerals, when I went to Baptist funerals, after I became, got into the Word of Faith and got filled with the Holy Ghost, instead of them concentrating on the family or the dead person or somebody beside me, the preachers thought that they were looking for me. When I walked in there, all the subject changed. Everybody was on me. They got fussing about the Holy Ghost and all this stuff, and the poor dead folk, dead man family just gone to hell. They were trying to cut me down. And, you know, so I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't like to go to these funerals, but I'm finna tell you something, I'm gonna help you. I said, Lord, I'm gonna explain, seek ye first the kingdom of God from this. I said, Lord, I need to go to help my family members, the church. And I need to be there when they was suffering. You know, you pastor know it. Pastor's all right here. You all know. We some of our members come out of tradition, and when their loved one die, we got to go in that thing. And that's the worst part of my job. I'm getting better at it now, though. You know. I pray in the Holy Ghost. I pray more in the Holy Ghost to go to awake than I come to preach. I'll tell you the truth about the whole matter. But in Acts alone, how to handle this thing? I'm tired of messing with this thing, and they chopping me all up. How to handle this thing? And I asked the Lord, if I get a chance to say, what shall I say? And the Lord, it dawned on my spirit one time. He says, ask the Lord Jesus what he would say tonight. And I began to say, Jesus, you know, just Jesus, what would you say tonight if you was in this? What would Jesus do? Now, I'm telling you how to seek first the kingdom of God. Can you see? I'm telling you how to seek for the kingdom of God. What would Jesus do? I know he knew how to seek that kingdom. You know why I knew he knew? It was the kingdom seeking the kingdom. Because he was and he is and he always will be the king, the head of the kingdom. So if I can find out what he would do, then he left me a map. Then he left me what he would do in given situation. If you really want godly prosperity and get into the laws of prosperity, practice putting God first always in everything, in every situation, every gathering you attend, every gathering you plan, make sure you save a seat for Jesus. Make sure the Lord welcome in this functioning. Are you out there? You're going home on me. Now, I'm going to do you a better one. Matter of fact, I'm going to go further to get it because I think we need to hook these two up. Here's another thing that keep your balance in godly prosperity. You got the first one, right? I say you have the first one, right?
Yes.
I'll set you and waste my time. Now get it. It is very important to grasp the concept that we don't own anything and that God just let us use things. Boy, that won't keep you balanced. You see what I'm saying? You don't own anything. You don't own your house. You don't own your car. You don't even own your little boy. You don't own your wife. You know, God is just letting you use this stuff. Keep yourself disattached from this stuff. And keep yourself attached to God and use this stuff. Use it like a digger use a shovel. You know, I guess a good illustration. Use it because a digger don't like to use a shovel, you know. And he know that shovel, you put that thing down. Boy, it's only a temporary thing. Did you get that? God, and I'm going to show you a scripture in a little while. God owns everything, and I own nothing. The thing that I have, God is letting me use them. So every now and then, pretty regular, I'd lift both hands in the air and call my wife's name out and all my children and everything I got, and I name it out. And I said, Lord, whatever you want to do with it, it's yours. I thank you for letting me use it. And as often as I do that, the Lord said, hey, boy, I'm going to trust you with some more. You're the kind of fella I've been looking for. Glory to God. You listen to me. We're going to get you out of debt. You follow these guidelines, see. Put first in. That's why the Lord kept talking about giving and receiving, tithe and offering, plant. He's trying to get you to get rid of it. Don't hoard it. Don't hold on to it. Loose it. Loose it because it's holding you back. Loose it and let it go, and hell will come more. Yeah. Loose it and let it go, and hell will come more. Seek ye first. Look at that scripture now. You get a better understanding of it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added on, added unto you. I'm saying all things are yours. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Oh, my goodness, yes. Turn to Proverbs. Hallelujah. Chapter 22, verse 4. Here's another mark of tapping and walking in the godly prosperity. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. By what? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Blessed are the meek. What did it say about them? For they shall inherit the heaven? No, the earth. What in the earth? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Can you see that? And notice what this verse said. Well, the Living Bible says, true humility and respect for the Lord leads a man to riches, honor, and long life. Remember those four words. Remember, always keep God first. Remember, I don't own anything. God own everything. Listen to this voice. True humility and respect for the Lord. Uh-oh. Respect for, everybody say respect for the Lord. Respect means reverence for the Lord. It is irreverent for you to be blessed by God and not follow his guideline for your finances. Using God's name in vain. Telling him how much you love him in vain. He don't believe you. He can't. Your actions speaking louder than your words. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tithing and giving is not for God. It's not for the church where you're giving. It's for you. A freedom, an abundance of joy, oh, peace come upon you when you're getting the will of God in every way you know how. I remember when I loosed God's money, and boy, I come to be a giant. I didn't have no money then, but I became a giant. I felt rich for loosing it before I had it, you know. I mean, because I knew I was in the will of God. And when somebody get up and start talking about tithing and giving and all that, I just sit there and show all teasing up. You can't do it if you're guilty, you know. I wish they'd talk about something else. And you will not get the revelation until you get into the revelation. How many of y'all desire to prosper? Be in health. Even as thy soul prospers, Here he says right here, listen. True humility and respect for the Lord leads a man to riches, honor, and long life. Isn't that something? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Now, you got your seatbelt? Because we're finna have, there's a windstorm coming up, and the turbulence gonna be kind of rough in this next altitude that we're going to. Receiving Jesus as Savior, but not letting Him be the Lord of your life. Turn to Luke chapter 9. Receiving Jesus as Savior, but not letting Him be the Lord of your life. Because if He's the Lord of your life, whatever is spoken to you in the Word, you'll be a doer of it. Is that right? Now see, all of this has something to do with prosperity. You cannot walk in godly in the laws of prosperity unless Jesus is the Lord of your life. Lord means He directs what way your life go in every aspect. And a lot of people have accepted Jesus as Savior, but they have not accepted Him as Lord. Hallelujah. How many glad you're here tonight? Yeah. Shucks, I'm glad I'm here too. I'm hearing some things. Hallelujah. And we're just winding up. My goodness, Lord, thank you. I think this second week might be better than the first week. You don't go far enough to find out how you're going to go. Cut off too fast. You know what I mean by that, don't you? Quick, fast, and in a hurry, let me out of here. Let's go. Don't hold the door no more. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, notice this. And He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let me be Lord. And take up his cross daily and follow me and do what I say do. You know, that's what that means, you know. So, if Jesus, you've accepted Him as Savior and not Lord, you cannot operate and function in the law of prosperity. The Bible says in Philippians 2, wherefore God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee. See, I remember when I moved from a Savior to my Lord. I became scripture, I have enough knowledge of the scripture to recognize that I couldn't run my life anymore and that I had a new master and that He was a good master. And if I yield my life to Him, He was going to rise me up in this life and take me in the world to come. I declare and decree tonight, I am who I am and where I am because Jesus is the Lord of my life. I've turned it over to Him. I turn everything I got over to Jesus. I turn all these people God trust me with. I say, oh my God, I can't even know. I don't know how to get out the rain sometimes, Lord. I don't even know how to get out a pasteboard box if they wrap it too tight. And I say, but Lord, I tell you what, I turn everything over to You. And He just keep on blessing me. Let's keep on blessing. In spite of what anybody say or do, the Lord just keep on blessing me. I just, you know, even if I move from under the sprout follow me. Can't get from under it. And it's by these same principles that I'm teaching you. I have my wife, I have my oldest son here. They'll tell you that I got him first. And that's what He told me to come tell you. Put Him first. Let Him be the Lord of your life. Understand the law of prosperity. Understand that He wants you to have. Understand that Jesus became poor. He became a curse. He became poverty because He wanted you rich, blessed, and free. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
My goodness. Declare this with me. Jesus.
Jesus.
This night.
This night.
You are my Lord.
And my Master.
I yield. Everything I have. Lift your hands up. Unto you. My home.
My car.
My family.
My
bank account.
My
talents.
My ability.
Everything I have.
I'm giving it to you.
The world
will not use
what I have.
Thank you.
Exodus chapter 20. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, he visited, you see, he visited when that happened, see. Yeah. That's his visitation. That's his glory coming in his place. I mean, I believe you all were sincere when you said it, because when you said it, a blanket dropped on me. A mantle fell on me when you said it. I believe there were some serious folks in here when they said that. My goodness. My goodness. Whoo. I'm so thankful to have him as my Lord. What a privilege. He's so wonderful. He's a good master. He takes care of his own. He'll never let you be brought to open shame. I hear him saying, stand still, the battle is not yours. This financial battle you're dealing with is not yours, it's mine. The battle is the Lord's. Give it to me, and I'll fight you out of them debts. Just release it to me tonight. Release everything like you did and stick with it. I'll bring you out of that. Oh, my goodness. And then from this night forward, he said, no weapon. That is formed against you shall prosper. But yet I'll see that you prosper. Hey, glory to God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now the scripture we're about to read now will endorse some things in your life. And you're going to have to get rid of these idol of gods. And money has been an idol of God to the church. Anything you hoard and keep and look up to more than what the direction of the Spirit of God had told you had become your God. That's where the scripture come in, not a love of money. Every person who not tied and you really love money more than you love God. I mean, just simple truth. These are just simple truth. These are not condemning words. These are convincing words and convicting words to get you over on the right side. So you can declare, when sickness hits your body, I'm in the will of God. Satan, take your hand off of my body. Exodus, chapter 20. You ready for this? Verse 3. Thou shall have no other gods before me.
What's the first thing I told you to qualify for the law of prosperity? Forward. Yeah, he made a line. She draw the line here. He said, listen. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. One of the reasons, listen very closely, that the body of Christ has suffered and not entered into godly prosperity, because unbeknownstly, to a certain degree, they have let that money become their god. And God not going to give you other gods to put before him. Therefore, he have to cut your prosperity off, because the more you get, the more gods you're going to have before him. Let's just think this way. Every dollar become a god. The Lord, listen to me, and I'll tell you the glory is in here. The Lord reaches grace is the long arm of God. And God, in his grace, he reached out to his children. He reaches and reaches and reaches to his children. As they go further and further away from him, he's trying to get their attention to say, you don't have to go that way. Come on back to me, and I'll sell everything for you and put you in a sure place. Are you following me? Turn to 2 Chronicles. You got your shouting clothes on? Amen. Boy, I tell you, we in this thing tonight. Ooh, I love it too. Give me more, Lord. I thank you. Ah, yeah. Yeah, 2 Chronicles. I'll tell you where to go in a few minutes. Are you getting it?
Yes.
How many of y'all eyes have been opened to something just by this little meeting tonight? I mean, tell you, my eyes, when I start studying this thing today, I say, oh, my God, you know, working some of the principles, God made them clear. Make me the Lord of your life. Get all them other gods out of your life. One of the biggest hindrances for people walking with God is money. They always get upset about money. Let that money go. Loose that money. Loose that dime off that dollar and let that thing go, and stop letting that thing be a burden on you for you to have look in the scripture trying to find out where tithing is not for the day. And if you just read the 7th chapter of Hebrews, it tell you. Then Jesus talked about tithing. Then you looking all over the world not to be blessed. You ought to be looking somewhere to be blessed. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm not going to say no stupid thing about no amen walls. Walls can't say amen. I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
Glory. And no amen walls don't say no amen. I ain't no sense saying this, having these little cliches out here. We need to, I come here to preach to people.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a pastor, amen chair. That's stupid. That chair don't hear what I'm saying. Just sound good, you know. Man, they're not helping nobody. Any of y'all ever heard that? Amen wall. I said it. My dumb self fathering somebody else. Ooh, now, if you don't want to see this, go ahead and close your Bible and come back tomorrow night, and we'll be about to say it now. But if you don't want to see this, because this is, we about to get down to the nitty-gritty, you know. Listen. I'm about to show you the way to prosper properly. Okay? I'm adding on to what I already have said to you. In a scripture. In 2 Chronicles. Did I tell you what chapter?
No.
Good. Chapter 26. Mm-hmm. I love it. Verse 5. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now I know what's happening in my life. as long as you seek the Lord. That's what that scripture is saying. As long as you keep God first, that's the way you seek him, you see. My goodness. My goodness. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to what? God made him to prosper. God, if you seek the Lord properly, God will make you prosper. Hallelujah. Can you see that? Is that in your Bible? Well, underline it, mark it. Don't pass a verse like that up. Seek, as long as he sought the Lord made, now we got it straight, because you see, if you talk about prospering, you talk about money, talk about money coming, we're dealing with tonight, money coming versus money coveted. This is a vast difference between the two. Oh, we broke it down to you. Money cometh versus going after money. So you can't go after money as a Christian. You go after God. When you find God, the money going to be there waiting on you. How you go after God? If you abide in me, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That's how you go after God. See? Hey, when you go after him, he come after you. He don't find people every day coming after him. And when the Lord see a man or woman turn their face from the world and turn toward him and give him the glory, the Lord said, let her have it. She'll be blessed going in and blessed coming out, blessing the city. I know about the field. I'm in the arrow. Bless in the field. You can't tell me nothing about that scripture. I know God blessed people in the field. One more time. Oh, goodness. Yeah, I'm going to preach an hour and a half tonight. That's an hour on that clock. Got too much sweet anointing here to waste it. We're going another half hour so you can get your tape ready, son. I've been preaching an hour and a half every night, haven't I? Yeah. This is such a... And see this scripture here, this tape here will balance that whole thing. I talked about a lot of things about money coming. And people get a hold of things. People start thinking, you know, they're just after money. Prosperity revival. I never heard of it. Well, I didn't name it, but I know a lot of poverty revivals. Everybody that broke is a poverty revival. Everybody in debt, they just didn't name it. Then you got these people talking about, I believe it, name it and claim it. But you got to have it lined up right. You can name and claim all you want. If you're not seeking the Lord properly, you're just naming and claiming. And that's what they've been doing to a large degree. This charismatic movement, someone writer said it must be a charismatic movement. They're just confessing a whole lot of things. No, you got to stop just confessing and start have some corresponding action. I don't know how you could ask the Lord to help you financially. I don't know where you build a nerve up to say, God, help me pay my bill. And the man has told you over and over again through the mouth of the prophet, through the mouth of the preacher, through the mouth of pastors, his divine laws of prosperity, how it's carried out. And you got the audacity to talk about, I love you, Lord. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. You're the blessed Savior. Lord, I'd do anything for you. I'd die. No, you're lying. If you ain't gonna die if you can't dine. That's a long difference between a dime and dine, you know. I love the Lord. Yeah, I know. The Lord know too. Now the Lord judge you by your pocketbook. One of the ways he find out do you really love him, see you sweat. And you use your brain to get that money. If you're a smart person, you're using that brain to get that money. And you put out something. And then God won't see, would you give him something worth something to you? Those accolades, they're free. You can, anybody can say them, hallelujah. Praise God, glory to God. Anybody say that? Hallelujah. See, a hallelujah won't come out of you now. You ready to give a hallelujah? Hallelujah, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You watch over me all night long. Yeah, I was watching you steal from me. You're supposed to watch a thief. Come on. And let's read the last part of that verse. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to what? God. You think God really was concerned about him? God? No, the devil. Huh? God made him to prosper. Is that in your Bible?
Yes.
Why he made him prosper? What do you think? Seeking or sought, he sought God. What do you think that mean? What do you think that mean? What? Putting him first. In what? Oh, you just hung yourself. In what?
Everything.
In order to seek the Lord, you have to put him first. In how many things? My goodness. Get on away from here. We didn't invite you here. You ain't got no money. It's a money revival. You come to steal something. Hallelujah. You got your shouting clothes on? Turn to Psalm 34. I'll give you enough evidence tonight either to hang you or save you. Psalm 34. You're either going to be broke or rich when you leave here. Make up your choice. Hallelujah. Rich means having a full supply. It doesn't mean you got to have $1 million in the bank. But my God, I can go somewhere anywhere tonight and eat what I want. Well, that's rich. You know what I mean? Amen. Then I don't have to. Then there's a whole lot of other ramifications with that now. Just because I got some money. Or just because you have some money does not mean you're rich. The richness come in having the additive into the system of your life that Jesus is Lord. Yes. See, just money. See, money don't tune this thing right. This heart, this old ticker don't go by money. I need the Lord's hand on this thing. You see what I'm saying? I'm talking about real prosperity now. I'm talking about the money aspect. But some people sit there just because you got a little sack. Thank you on the rack. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I believe I'm going to let y'all sing some more tonight. Y'all go to praying. I believe we're going to shout in this place a little bit tonight. I mean, all this good preaching, you got to shout. So you know what? I don't want no precious Lord in there. I want something hot. Precious Lord is good, but I want something hot. So y'all go to praying. Psalm 34. You got your shouting clothes on.
Yes.
Verse 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come on, raise your hand to the Lord. Man, that's very simple, isn't it? What's complicated about that? What kind of, you don't need no revelation for this. The young lion do lack and suffer hunger. But they, notice that word now. That, we just talk about, they that sought the Lord. You know, he probably, see that seek, sought. Seek, sought. Seek, sought the Lord. You see that?
Yeah.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And his righteousness. God, keep God always first. See, that little word seek. Seek mean, when you say seek God, seek his will, seek to do what he desires for you to do at that given time. Say, you won't want for, now listen, what do you mean? You won't want for any good thing. What is it a good thing to have your bill paid? Well, if it's a good thing, if you want a porterhouse steak, this is a good thing to be able to go get it. Look how churchy you're giving. I got to talk about porterhouse. Well, who you think God made porterhouse for? And who you think he made filet mignon for? They're just strange to you because you haven't been seeking the Lord properly to get them. But they're yours. He said, well, I mean, what do you call a good thing then? What would you call a good thing? Could you call a good thing the house you want?
Yes.
Go look at me with that tone of voice. What's the matter with y'all religious folk? Could you call a good thing the house you want, the car you want to drive? That's good thing. See, now we already got it in the right perspective. God first. We're not going after the car. We're going after God. But as we went after God, God say you can have the car. Listen, this is the Bible. Listen, B-I-B-L, capital B, I-B-L-E. Now see if this is in your Bible. Psalm 34, let me make sure I'm saying Psalm 34. After 9 comes 10, right before 11. Let's make sure we got the right voice. The young lion do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. In other words, God is saying to you, Tukey, if you do what I tell you to do, boy, I'm not going to let this world even hold nothing back from you. Because you're going to step in high. Walking over this world system. This world system don't know how you're making it. They're worried, but you're on another ladder. You on top of this world system. You got them on a wonder. Hey! Y'all get a hold of this thing. I want y'all to, hey, come and go with me. Y'all get a hold of this thing. This is real. God is the God of prosperity. He is Jehovah Jireh. Oh, tonight, recognize how big your God is. Recognize how much your God wants you to have it. Recognize that your God got it for you as soon as you begin to work his laws and work his principles and walk in his ways. Your hustling days is over. You don't have to hustle another day. Just walk with God. Just walk with God. Just seek him first. Just put him first. I dare you put him first. I dare you give everything you got to him and turn away and say, now God, everything I have is yours. I don't own anything. Whatever you want me to do with this car, wherever you want this car to go, whoever you want at this house, whoever you want to see this house, whoever you want to walk through the rooms, Lord, I'll let them go because it's not my house. It's not my car, but it's yours, Lord. Let your name be magnified. Let your name be glorified. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord for his goodness and his mercy. He's a good God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise him because he deserves it. Praise him for his goodness. The Lord is good and his mercy. Around preach myself happy. Oh, 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 goodness. Hallelujah. He said if I seek after him, he won't have me wanting for any good thing. Hallelujah. Whew. Whew. Is that for everybody? Oh, bless God. Yes, sir. You've been born of His Spirit and washed in His blood and getting His will. He'll pour down blessing upon you because He wants the world to know I take care of my own. It's not God holding nothing back from you. It's you and the devil holding back from you. Separate yourself from the devil. Separate yourself from his will and get in the Father's will. And I promise you the Lord will pour it out on you. My goodness. My. Hey. Yeah. Oh, glory, 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 glory. God said in his word, I'm not a man that I should lie. If I say that, I'll make it good. You can find it in his book. I'll do it. My word shall not return unto me void, but they will accomplish and prosper in what I sent them out to do. Yeah, it's for you. I say it's for you. The blessings of God, they are for you tonight. There is a balance in the prosperity and the goodness of God. There is a place that you can get in God. Not that you're doing worldly things. Not that you're going after money. Money cometh. The blessings of God cometh. The goodness of God cometh. That's all he's been saying. Listen what he said. Look in this psalm. Look in this psalm again. Get your Bible. Pick your Bible up. Look what he said. The young lion do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Well, sit down a few minutes if you can. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you getting blessed, sister? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I'm so blessed up here, boy. I tell you, because you see, oh my goodness, I'm so blessed. Oh, you know, they used to sing a song in the Baptist church, I'll just fly away. Yeah, I feel like I can fly away now. Truth. 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 Known and acted upon. Set you free. Not just knowing the truth. You got to take care of the whole Bible. You got to act upon the truth. You really don't know it till you act upon it. You don't know if it's truth or not. See the revelation of that. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You don't know if something's truth until you prove it. That's my first time hearing it. That's a good revelation. You don't know whether it's truth. You can't know whether it's truth because the Bible said it. But when you act upon it and it comes to pass in your life, then you're free. You're not free by memorizing. You're not free by reading it. But you become a doer of the word. And that word bring to pass what is said. It would bring to pass. Then you know the truth. Then you're free. See, you can't read the verse. John 8:32. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. I know the truth. I'm free. No, you're not. You're not free until you act upon that truth, and that truth produce in your life what it said it would produce. Then you know the truth. You know it's truth then, and then you're free. I mean, I never heard it like that before. I mean, I've heard about know the truth and acting on the truth, but I've seen something here. The Spirit of God is saying, scriptures are not fulfilled in your life because you know them and because you've repeated them 90 times. Scriptures are fulfilled in your life when you have acted upon them and they have produced exactly what they said they would produce in your life. And then that scripture become your scripture because it become alive, it become rhema to you, and nobody can take it from you. You see that? How many see that? So we can't just read John 8:32 and you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free, because a lot of y'all read that verse many times, you're still not free. There's truth here. If you seek the Lord, he will not hold no good thing from you. Let me ask you one other question. Is an air condition in a house a good thing? Since they won't say everything spiritual, you know. Is that air tonight when you go home? I've been without air. I've been with broken air conditioning. I'll move out, I'm going to the hotel. I put the window up and had that fan was blowing. I said, listen. Now, you know, before you introduced to it, now a person never been introduced to an air conditioner can make it. See, your body, after many years, see, a person, listen, if I never was introduced to that, I could, because we used to open the windows, and we used to sleep with the doors open. And the window, we had automatic air. I got two brothers in here. We used to sleep with our window open, with no screen. Wasn't able to get no screen. With a bug and a bird and everybody else flying in there. Come on in this house. You know, and we lived in the country. Is having a nice car to go where you want to go with your family and get back safely, is that a good thing?
Yes.
I just want to know if these bad things, I'm, you know, try to pray for y'all that y'all don't have them. If we call them bad, them bad things. Well, we know that's not a bad thing. You know, a nice outfit, if you want a nice outfit, that's a good thing. If you want your whole family over and your family consists of 35 people for Thanksgiving and you were able to set out 5 or 6 turkey for Thanksgiving, that's a good thing. That looked like the Lord to me.
Yes.
If I walk in the house and see 5 turkeys on there, big old turkeys with their legs stuck up, that's the Lord in this house. No, is those a good thing?
Yes.
See, the world and the devil been eating those turkeys and having all that stuff, and they tell us, look, y'all holy. Y'all are Lord people. I respect you. Get in their car and laugh all the way home. Laugh at you being so stupid because they got your stuff. Hallelujah. Turn to Proverbs 8, we'll close. Proverbs 8. My goodness. Thank you, Lord. Y'all got that song ready? Y'all better be praying. Y'all say y'all won't go on the road with me. You're the road. Just the road right here. We're hitting it hard and heavy. Chapter 8, Proverbs, verse 17. Oh, my God. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me. Yeah. Doable. Everybody say doable. You know what that means? They'll last when everything else be gone. When the economical system of this world break down. God's word, God's riches, God's financial plan, God's prosperity. When everything going under, when Dow Jones going under, when all the chemical plants going under, when Klein Peter going under, when all the banks going under, God's people will still have money in their pocket because he said, my riches are durable, everlasting. Let the plant go down. Let the governor mansion go down. Let the White House be confused. But I'm on God's system. No matter who go down, God said my riches are durable. That means, listen, that means God's riches can pass any tests that come against me. I know it. Actually, he's talking about wisdom here. You got the wisdom of God. Oh, the wisdom and the favor of God. What a treasure you have. I know God is right because there was a famine and there was a boy named Joseph who had been in the prison and the man had a dream. And the wisdom of God interpreted that dream and brought that boy from the pit to the palace, to the prison, and back in the palace as the top man. Because he had the wisdom of God and he had something on the inside of him was doable riches. And we have the same thing. The Lord Jesus Christ is on the inside of us. And he said, I'm the greater one. Great is he. Let's read these verses one more time and close. Oh, I preach myself happy tonight. I said, I'll preach myself happy, boys. Oh, glory to God. And you know, I believe everything I'm preaching. Matter of fact, I'm living it. Shh, it's all under my feet. It's in my leg. It's on me. Because I know it's real. I'm not preaching another man's experience. You can really preach something, boy, if you've lived it. I'm not preaching no experience. I saw God got me out of debt, raised me up, and set me on solid ground. And all I was doing is preaching Christ and giving him the glory. And God said, hey, you please me. Come on up here. And the world system tried to block me. And God pulled all that tooth out.
Dr. Leroy Thompson is the president and founder of Ever Increasing Word Ministries, an outreach ministry of the Word of Life Christian Center in Darrow, Louisiana. For more information on this dynamic teaching ministry, visit our website at www.eiwm.org. Or you can write Dr. Thompson at P.O. Box 7, Darrow, Louisiana, 70725.